Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chedi and Induwa Rampol Chedi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bible Issues. My name is Dr. Denver Chedi. Today, I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name?' Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness,' or 'ye workers of iniquity,' according to the King James Version." That is undoubtedly one of the scariest portions of scripture in the Bible. And many people are confused by what that scripture says, because if we really think about it, it paints a picture that on Judgment Day, there will be many people who will be lining up to get into heaven, fully expecting that they will go to heaven, spend eternity with God, and then to their shock, "I never knew you." That is the ultimate deception, and it is scary. So we're going to unpack that scripture piece by piece today, and hopefully by the end of this session, you will have a better understanding of what that scripture means, and you will be more established in your salvation. All right, first of all, it says, "Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, immediately, that poses a bit of a problem, because there's a scripture in Romans chapter 10, verse 13 that says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So, what do we make of this? On one hand, it's saying, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But on the other hand, it's saying, "Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' shall be saved, will enter the kingdom of heaven." And I think the easiest way to work through this is to recognize that whoever genuinely calls upon the Lord will be saved. But not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' with their mouth shall be saved. For you must believe in your heart and then speak with your mouth. So if you're just speaking in your mouth, but there's really no heart conviction or faith, then you're just saying words. You're just saying the words, 'Lord, Lord.' So whoever genuinely calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So that leads us back to the original problem. There are many people on Judgment Day who thought that they genuinely called upon the name of the Lord, but they didn't. They were just saying words. That's one of the reasons why I don't believe in the sinner's prayer. And I'm afraid that there are many people who just repeat the sinner's prayer that they heard on TV, thinking that that makes them a Christian. And they're fully assured. They have 100% assurance of salvation, but 0% actual salvation. It goes on to say, "Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Now, this raises yet another problem, because you might be thinking, "Well, I thought we were saved by faith. I thought the Bible says, 'For by grace are you saved through faith and not by works. It is not of yourselves.'" Now here Jesus is saying, not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," but those who do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So it kind of comes across like a work salvation. And that poses a lot of problems, right? We have to deal with the fact that this scripture is in the Bible. It says what it says. Now, there's some people who work around it like this, and it's a kind of dishonest way of handling scriptures. They would quote John chapter 6, verse 29, which says, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one that he sent." So they say that whenever it talks about the will of God, that you must do the will of God, the will of God is just that you believe. that's not really true, because the Bible says a lot of things about the will of God. It says the will of God is that you be sanctified and that you live holy lives. It says a lot of things about the will of God. In the parallel passage in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, it says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" So in that verse, Jesus makes it very clear what he meant when he says, "Only those who do the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? You're just saying Lord, Lord with your mouth. Those who genuinely call upon him will also do what he says. Now, we are saved by grace. We are saved through faith. But genuine faith will result in a life of obedience to God. We will never be perfect, but we will be transformed from a self-centered life to a God-centered life. Jesus here is talking about those who are genuinely saved. So he goes on to say, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" All right, so now it's getting interesting. Now he's narrowing it down even further. So he is not just talking about the average Christian who listened to a message on TV, repeated a sinner's prayer with their mouth. Yes, those people are deceived, but Jesus here is not talking about that particular deception. He's talking about something a little more specific. He's talking about now people who prophesied, people who cast out demons and did many wonders. So I suppose those wonders would include preaching the gospel around the world, healing the sick, maybe even raising the dead. Now that leads us to the next question. Were these people genuine miracle workers, or were they lying? So I want you to put yourself, try to imagine that you're standing before God on Judgment Day and thinking that you're going to heaven, and suddenly, to your shock, realize that you're not. What are you going to say to God in that moment? Are you going to make up an outrageous lie? But Lord, I heal the sick. I cast out demons. He will be like, "No, you didn't." I mean, suppose I say to God, "But God, I climbed Mount Everest for you. I planted the Jesus flag at the top of Mount Everest." And he will be like, "You didn't actually do that. No, that's not true." You're not going to make up an outrageous lie. I mean, think about it. You're standing before the King of Kings, the all-knowing God, only at that moment to realize that you have lived a lie. Are you going to make up the most outrageous lie? Most likely, you're going to make up a lie that's reasonable. You're going to say something like, "But Lord, I preached the gospel. I shared the gospel with other people. I went to church. I did this, I did that." You're going to talk about the things that you actually did. So for somebody to say, "Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name?" It would suggest that they actually did those things. So that is scary, because many of us in charismatic churches, we look to people who cast out demons and heal the sick as the benchmark. That is how we judge who is a genuine minister and who is not. That is how we determine who is anointed and who is not. I wonder if we are living a deception now. Many will say to me on that day, "Have we not prophesied? Have we not cast out demons? We did many wonderful works." I want you to just think of all the people you've ever met in your life, of all the people you knew about, heard about. What are some of the names that immediately come to mind when you read this scripture? I will tell you this. If you're not casting out demons, healing the sick, and prophesying, I know for sure Matthew 7:22 is not talking about you. Now, it doesn't mean you're not deceived in some other way, but it certainly means that this particular deception does not fall in your yard. It is talking about people who prophesied in Jesus' name, not in Sai Baba's name or some other name. They did many wonderful works in his name. Yet, Jesus will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. He didn't say, I used to know you, but then after a while, we kind of drifted apart and I don't know you anymore. He said, I never knew you. That is the ultimate deception. To live your entire life doing miracles, thinking you're saved, thinking you're more than saved, thinking that you're anointed, and only to realize all of that was one huge lie. That is scary. That is scary. These verses tie into what Jesus talked about earlier when he said, beware of false prophets who are like wolves in sheep clothing. There are other scriptures that say false prophets who will do false wonders, they will do miracles and they will deceive many. And Acts chapter 20 talks about false teachers who will draw disciples to themselves. These scriptures are talking about people who appear to be serving God. They appear to be doing the work of God. They appear to be doing miracles in Jesus' name. But really and truly, they're doing the miracles through some other power. Or maybe what you're witnessing is not miracles at all. It is just something that appears to be a certain way on camera. But in real life, it's a different story. These people have lived a life of self-centeredness rather than God-centeredness. Instead of living their life to do God's will, they have done their own will. Instead of building God's kingdom and seeking first God's kingdom, they have built their own kingdom on earth. And of course, they called it God. They were doing their own thing all along, drawing disciples to themselves rather than Christ. Let me ask you this. If someone criticizes your favorite teacher, do you get mortally offended? But if somebody criticizes God or the Bible or Christianity, you're like, it's not such a big deal. What does that tell you? That could be telling you that those teachers that you like so much are drawing disciples to themselves rather than to God. One thing we could conclude from this is that we should never judge ministers by the miracles they perform or appear to perform, by the crowds that follow them, by the numbers they put out, by the size of their altar calls, by how much money they have. Instead, the Bible says, by their fruit you shall know them. We are supposed to look for godly characteristics, sound doctrine. There are certain characteristics that go with a genuine minister and certain fruit, bad fruit, that goes with a false prophet, false teacher. And those are the things that we need to look for. The Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith, but true faith will result in a Christ-centered life, a life of surrender to God, a life of service to God. Not just those who say with their mouth, Lord, Lord, but those who do the will of God from their heart. It's not that doing anything causes you to be saved, but if you are genuinely saved, you will find yourself wanting to do the will of God, wanting to serve God. And that is ultimately how you know you're saved. Are you living for yourself or are you living for God? Or are you secretly living for yourself, thinking that you're doing it in the name of God? There are many people who live that deception as well. And I urge you, examine your life. We should all examine our lives, not just you. I'm preaching to myself as well. Let us see if we are in God's will. Let us examine ourselves to see if we are truly in the faith and that our faith is genuine and that our faith is producing fruit unto eternal life. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.
Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chedi and Induo Rampol Chedi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.